January 2018, I bought another 3 shadow boxes, but this time Ray added 2 shelves and hinges so that I could open them. The larger one was going to be a family tree. I found the tree pattern on Google, and with Ray's help, we glued it on the back with Mod Podge. I then decided to use some jewellery bezels for the photographs. There was enough room for 6 generations of our family with me and Ray centre. It took quite a while to size all the photographs, but I got there in the end and printed names underneath each one. I added some more handmade items to place inside the box and still adding to it as we have 2 great-granddaughters, Ivy and Florence Gunn. The next shadow box was for the Welsh love spoons made by Ray and Patrick. They are very special and deserve to be displayed. There is also one that my dad bought for my mam. The smallest one was made by me from a Magnum ice lolly stick. I really enjoyed making the third box as it contained miniature books, letters, globes, seals and more, all handmade by me. It was our 50th wedding anniversary on the 5th of October 2018. And I hope that we will be here for the 60th too, as I can't imagine life without Ray. I consider myself very lucky to have spent my life with such a gentle, caring man. The electric was off in the village all day for repairs, I think, but it didn't stop us enjoying ourselves. I went into the backyard and made some resin jewellery to celebrate our life together. Ray went for one of his long walks and brought back a bunch of wildflowers for me. I pressed them between some kitchen paper to dry, and 2 weeks later I covered them with resin. Now they are preserved for a very long time. Ray's new hobby was cross stitch, and he made 2 pieces to celebrate our life together. After tea, we went down the quarry for our daily walk together and laughed about some of the funny things that happened on our wedding day 50 years ago. When Louis Morris died in 2019, Susie from Brindillas gave me the Ysgogeiliog Annibynwyr Chapel membership ledger, 1895 to 1986. It was very interesting, and I found my family names on nearly every page. My effort of photographing the pages was not good enough because it was very difficult as the pages would not lay flat and I didn't want to damage them. Ray came to the rescue and bought a stand-up scanner, especially for books, and he scanned every page for me. I then used a computer program that my son Patrick gave me to publish them as an e-book. Ray and I had written a book about our village, Cynwys Ysgogeiliog, in 2003, and there were pictures of many of the names mentioned in the chapel ledger. I spent many hours searching through the pages of the ledger and our book, but it was worth it as I also published an e-book with the history and photos of many of the names mentioned in the ledger. I thought it would be great for the future family historians to see the faces of their ancestors. The chapel ledger was finally handed over to Eleanor Griffith from People's Collection Wales, the Digital Access Project Officer at the National Library of Wales, Aberystwyth, in 2020. It can now be viewed on the computer along with a book of photographs and history of the members. On Sunday the 24th of March 2019, Sharon, our daughter, called to take us up to the hill opposite our cottage, where they had felled the trees across the road. I wanted to replicate a postcard that photographer Donald George took of our village, Cynwys Ysgogeiliog, in 1928. When we arrived, I could see that I would not be able to climb down to the exact spot because of my bad hip, knee and ankle. Sharon and Ray managed it, but they were struggling in the mud and branches on the ground. Ray went further than Sharon and managed with great accuracy to take the photo I wanted. They were both struggling to get back, and I was glad that I hadn't tried to get there. Sharon also drove us around the corner and took a photo of me and Ray with the village in the background. When we arrived home, I suggested that Ray and I walk up to Llyn y Mynydd to film and photograph where we had been. Sharon went home to her family and said that she had enjoyed herself. It had been an enjoyable day, and I can't thank Ray and Sharon enough for helping me have this special photograph. I just wish that Dad had been alive because he would have enjoyed that day too. I have uploaded Donald George's postcard and Ray's photographs onto People's Collection Wales to be viewed by everyone. I am really into nature, always filming and photographing bees, etc. And one day my son Patrick showed me this beautiful moth on a blade of grass on Ray's lawn. I approached it slowly with my camera and noticed a collection of small eggs. I had to save these because Ray was about to cut the lawn. So I dug out some turf with the eggs and carefully filled the hole before the lawnmower came. I had reared cabbage white butterflies before, so I thought these would be a challenge too. I researched the moth and discovered that it was a female emperor moth. 10 days later, the eggs started to hatch into tiny black caterpillars, so I placed some of them inside a tub with bramble leaves to feed on and carried the turf with the remaining eggs down to the quarry and placed it amongst the heather for them to hatch out naturally. During the next 6 weeks, the caterpillars in a tub were growing and had shed their skins at least 4 times. At every stage, the colour changed, first from black to orange, orange to yellow, yellow to pale green to a dark green with black stripes. I thought that the skins were fascinating and the faces were like Japanese masks, so I preserved some in resin as a reminder forever. After about 6 weeks, the large green caterpillar started to spin a hairy cocoon, which later turned into a ginger colour. When safe inside, it would shed its skin again and emerge inside the cocoon as a pupa. It would overwinter in the cocoon and emerge as a moth during April-May the following year. Strangely enough, some of mine did not emerge until the year after. Apparently this does happen and is not yet fully understood why. A single female can produce both fast and slow developing individuals. Sadly, I miss the moths emerging from the pupa, even though I watched them carefully. It was quite emotional when I set them free in my garden, and I was glad that I saved those eggs from the moor, as the whole experience was very educational. On a Tuesday, 9th of April 2019, Jacob, my great-nephew, went to see his Auntie Jen at Dolgelli with his mum Lana, nine Sian, and his little brother Blake. His Auntie Alison and myself and cousin Sharon were also there to see them all. Jacob and his family arrived at 11:45 after a long journey from Conwy. When all the hugs and kisses were over, it was time for a cup of tea and we all ate our sandwiches. Later on, Auntie Jew, that's me, and Sharon took Jacob and Blake for a walk into the town of Dolgellau. Auntie Jew loves history and took them to see Jacob and Blake's 5 times great-grandfather John Jones in the church cemetery. John used to run the Cross Foxes Inn at Dolgellau in the 1800s. I took a photograph of Jacob by the gravestone, and as he walked away he asked, "What colour hair did he have, Auntie Jew?" I said I didn't know, so Jacob replied, "Well, how do you know then that he's our grandfather?" I had a lot of explaining to convince him. We all then went into the church because Auntie Jew wanted Jacob to see the military effigy of our ancestor, Meirig Vychan, inside. Jacob signed a visitor's book, and on the line above his there was a name, Jones, who had also been to see the effigy. When Jacob saw the effigy, he was a little apprehensive, but realised it was only stone. Jacob studied the sword and shield, also asking questions about what he was wearing around his face. Auntie Jew explained to him that Meirig Vychan was a knight and served as a lieutenant of the Comot of Talabont, Merionethshire, from 1339 to 40. Jacob had his photo taken by the effigy and asked so many questions. Little Blake was as good as gold in his buggy, and Sharon bought him a train on the way home. Jacob said he wanted to learn Welsh, so off we went around the bookshops, and eventually Jacob found the one he wanted. He was so happy. It was a Welsh book with knights and castles, and inside there were also pictures of Owain Glyndŵr and Prince Llywelyn, more of Jacob's ancestors. We arrived back at Auntie Jen's and he couldn't wait to look at his book, and Auntie Jew signed it for him. We all had another cup of tea, but sadly it was soon time to go home. Both Jacob and Blake had a long journey ahead. It had been a lovely day and we all said our goodbyes. One day in 2019, we had a visit from Mark Garhan from Dyfodol Broglan Twymyn, funded by the National Lottery Rural Futures. He was asking if we had any stories and photos about Cynws Esgygailiog. He wanted to share them on the story bus, which was coming to the village soon. It was also going to Penegoes, Abycegyr, Cemais, Cwmllinau and Glon Twymyn. We agreed to give him some and worked very hard during the next few days, copying films, making brochures and printing pictures. It was raining on the day the bus arrived and we gave them a box full of history projects. There were four of them on the team, Mark, Naomi, Adrian and David. We were both interviewed by Adrian. Only a handful of people turned up because most of them must have been at work. I enjoyed it anyway, as I love anything that involves local history. They were very grateful for our contribution and Mark called again and gave me a bouquet of flowers as a thank you. On Wednesday the 21st of August 2019, Eleanor Griffith from People's Collection Wales, the Digital Access Project Officer of the National Library of Wales Aberystwyth, contacted me. She mentioned that they were collecting stories about the experiences of the People's Collection Wales contributors. Eleanor had been moderating many of my uploaded items and was so impressed with the contents of Cynws Archive, which I started in September 2011. I had been very busy uploading photos and audios for about 10 years. I also wanted to upload my video films, but the file size were too large. So I uploaded them onto YouTube to be viewed by a link on People's Collection Wales, and this took many weeks. Eleanor visited our house a few times and I suggested to Ray that he showed her his negative files. So she arranged for a team of volunteers from the National Library of Wales to scan them to archive standard for inclusion in the Cynws Archive. It was lovely meeting Eleanor, and without her enthusiasm, these negatives would never have been digitised. I don't know how long the People's Collection Wales will last, but it is well worth visiting as there are many treasures to see.